The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? You are on the Sharks Audio Network, and we are getting ready for tonight's game. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time as the Sharks play host to the Blues. San Jose sitting in a good position in the wild card race. They've played 71 games, which means they have one, two, or three games in hand on all the teams in front of them. Everybody in front of them keeps on losing. It's incredible to watch the way that no one is pulling away with this. And San Jose keeps on giving themselves a chance. They are 33-31-7. They are 1 point back of Winnipeg, 2 points back of Seattle. They are 3 points back of LA, and they are 4 points back of Nashville. And San Jose has two games in hand on Winnipeg, one game in hand on Seattle, two games in hand on Nashville, LA, three games in hand on Nashville, three games in hand on Utah, who are at 82 points. So this is far, far from over. Some of the news coming out of morning skate this morning, and this was found out while we were doing the interview that you're going to hear with Alan Hoshida in a moment here, but our good friend of Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now says that Yaroslav Askarov was on the ice for practice this morning, and some of the lines we are seeing, same as last game: Chernyshov, Celebrini, Smith, then Eklund, Wenberg, Sherwood, Graf, Misa, Toffoli, Goodrow, Ostapchuk, Gaudette, and Orlov, Desharnais, Mukhmadulin, Ferraro, Dickinson, Letty. And in addition to Askarov being on the ice, he did not see Brossoit get out onto the ice. So maybe Askarov is healthy enough to at least back up. So again, that's from Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. But let's get into this interview. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Alan Hoshida, the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California. I'll be joining him tonight on the show. Pre-game starts at 6:30 as the Sharks prepare to take on the Blues yet again. Alan, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing great because every time I think the San Jose Sharks should just mail it in and say, not mail it in because they'll never mail it in, but say, hey, we did a good job this season. We made some big steps. Now, you know, maybe we should look for the draft. Every time I do that, you just get suckered back in. They just pull you back in.
It's so true because they come off the win, which has them at 73 points. They are four back of Nashville with multiple games in hand, three games in hand. The Sharks have played the fewest games of anyone in the NHL at only 71 games played. You know, the hottest team in the the wild card race and looking outside of, really both divisions right now, although Edmonton's won three in a row, but that's going to be St. Louis have won four games in a row. They're the hottest. They're a game back of San Jose or a place back of San Jose with 73 points as well, but they played one more game, but it's incredible. I mean, Winnipeg 5-3-2, that's 5-5. Seattle 3-5-2, LA 3-3-4, Nashville 5-4-1, but suddenly they're cooling off and they've lost three in a row. Utah has won one game. They're 4-5-1. Vegas, they just fired their head coach. We'll get to that in a second, but they're 3-5-2 with two overtime losses. Edmonton playing decently, 6-3-1. Anaheim, 6-3-1, coming off a loss. But, I mean, the Sharks, they are, it's not just that they're mathematically alive, it's they are clearly alive in this. And I think, Alan, it's going to come down to the last day.
It might. I think this is a huge game against the Blues. And I something I've noticed here the last 3 weeks. So 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, the Tuesday, it was Sharks versus Edmonton. Felt like a must win. It gets you back. If they win that game, they probably are in more of a consideration for the division, not just the wild card. All right, so that didn't happen. They didn't play their best. And then it fast forward the next week. It was a must win game against the Nashville Predators to start their week again. And they lose that one of the worst periods of hockey of all season, 6-3 final, but that one was in hand earlier on. So now, again, third week in a row, you start your week with a game that shows you if this team is ready to play this style of hockey, this playoff style hockey. They're going to have to play playoff hockey for the last 12 games of the season. They don't have 12 left, but it's starting last game or two games in a row, whatever you want to do it. The last 15 games they've had to play, like they're in a playoff mode. So I'm really interested to see if they've learned their lesson from the last 2 weeks of starting the week. Because I do think there's something weird about Sunday to Monday. It's for everybody in life. It's like, oh, it's a new week. It's a new week. It's a new whatever. Maybe you had a bad week and you need to turn it over. And it's not just for professional athletes, but I do think you're starting a new week. I think there's something about getting that momentum that you carried over from the road trip, that last win, getting 3 out of 6, which, again, if you would have said, okay, you're going to get 3 out of 6 on the road trip, that's fine. You probably want 4 out of 6. You're not going to win every single game. But now the road trip doesn't feel as bad as it did when you lose the first one in the way that you did. But with that being said, now you have this game, and I think I saw on Money Puck that if you win this game, your chances to make the playoffs are up to 23%. If you lose it, you're back down to 9, where you're basically kind of where you're sitting at right now. So have they learned their lesson from the previous 2 weeks of starting the week right? And if they start this week right, then maybe does that carry in to the final 5 games of this homestand? It's a 6-game homestand. They have to get, in my estimation, 10 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
10 points on this homestand, and it has to start tonight. And you have to learn that after the way you played in Edmonton, after the way you played in Nashville, now you have the Blues, who are a very surprising team at this point, who, you know, have the Sharks' number here. Can you learn your lessons of the previous 2 weeks and start the week out the way you want to do it and set the tone? I think it's a huge question, and I think it needs to be answered tonight.
Yeah, the lack of showing up in the games against Edmonton and Nashville, very, very concerning. And I know that we're talking, you know, long term, that they need to learn the lessons of playing in big games this year for the future. But do you think that they are capable of learning the lessons in the short term? I mean, I know Macklin Celebrini is never going to assume the clock's going to run out again in overtime. That's the lesson he'll probably learn very, very quickly. I know that, you know, this team is learning in real time, but how quickly can those lessons be applied?
I think the last 2 games should give you a level of optimism because of the way they did play. You know, that Blues game, it was a grind out game. They controlled the puck a little bit more than they had the previous games, and so they were trending in the right direction. And then they come back against the Blue Jackets, who were 19-4-4 since Bonus took over. So now they're 19-5-4. So still very good. And they played the style that you need to play. It's not going to be high octane. It's not going to be wide open. Sure, they had a little bit more chances in that Columbus game, but every game is going to be tight here. So I think if you take those 2 games, you say, okay, now they're kind of learning how to win in these low scoring affairs where it's not going to be 4 or 5 goals every night. You're going to have to beat teams 2-1, 3-2. You can't give up more than 2 goals. It's just not possible to win at this time. And so I think that should give you some optimism. But I keep going back to this, and I think you have to see it. This is another big game, and they have to show up. It has to be in the first period. It does help that, you know, now they're at home, and they are going to be sold out here for the next 6. They're going to be sold out here for the rest of the season at home. You would think, or very, very close. So they'll have energy. I hope they can learn those lessons right now and maybe make a little push here. But again, a push here, it's at least 10 points on this homestand.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's crazy because there's so few games left. You know, they're home, and then they've got the back-to-back where they play at Anaheim, which is home and away, and then they've got one more home game after that against Vancouver before they go off on the road against Nashville, who could very well be in it, then Chicago, and then Winnipeg, who could very well be in it, depending on what happens between now and the end of the season. So it is going to be a wild ride. I guess, what is your thoughts on what is most surprising you lately? Because I don't want to steal your thunder, but the thing that's most surprising to me, and I don't mean this in the pejorative, is that Nick Leddy has shown up in a big way for San Jose since coming back into the lineup. He's played his best hockey as a Shark. I did not have that on my bingo card for the month of March.
But that just goes to show you, like, he's a guy who understands what has to be done right now.
Yeah.
You know, all season they waived him, right? They didn't know he'd be even on this team at this point. And you heard after the game, Ryan Warsawski shouted him out in the clip that the San Jose Sharks posted. You need guys to step up. It doesn't matter if you have 1,000 games under your belt, like Nick Leddy, or you're in your first year, like Igor Chernyshov, who stepped up huge. And I keep going back to, if Igor Chernyshov doesn't get hurt in that Montreal game, sure, the San Jose Sharks win that Montreal game, because, you know, you're winning one for a guy that got hurt there. You have a lot of motivation there. But if that first line is the first line that we saw the last couple games, do they go on that 5-game losing streak? Do they have more firepower? I think that's a huge question to ask at this point, but it doesn't matter now, right? Now you have to go do it. So I think the most surprising thing right now is their defense isn't where it needs to be, but they figured out a way to limit the chances here the last two games and limit the shots. And I think if you can do that moving forward and get out of your zone, that's got to be the key. And so obviously you're looking at it and you're saying their defense overall the last month or so hasn't been great. But I think the last couple games, they started to figure out how they could be most productive with the personnel that they have and how to do that. You've seen Sam Dickinson be a little bit more aggressive in transition, and they're killing pucks a little bit earlier. They don't have to do Declan Celebrini, the first line, the second line, secondary scoring. And sure, that's all what you want, but you can't keep giving up 4 or 5 goals. And they were doing that far too often. But finally, the last two, it's just been a couple goals. And so that's the biggest thing. I think the biggest surprise is if they could start limiting these two, each team to 2 goals a game, goals against, it's obvious. It's the obvious thing to say, because obviously if you only allow 2, you should win a lot of those games. But that's the biggest thing that they need to keep doing, is keep figuring out how to limit the chances. And you're going to have some blunders back there. It's going to happen with who they have back there and the guys learning on the fly. Sam Dickinson, Shakir Mukhamudulin, you're going to have these chances given up. But it's got to be few and far between. And I think they've done a better job the last 2 games. And then you hope the offense comes around. You hope that the secondary line comes around. Or there's also going to be nights that your top line is the top line we saw in Columbus. They just take over games, but you can't rely on that. So I think the most important thing and the biggest surprise here the last couple games is that their defense has figured out a little bit better formula of staying connected, getting out clean, and doing simple things. That's what has to be key for the San Jose Sharks.
You mentioned that top line, and we've been wanting to see it for so long, and we finally have seen it now together, and the chemistry is obviously there with Chernyshov and Smith and Macklin Celebrini. And, you know, like you alluded to, I wonder what would have happened if, you know, Chernyshov doesn't go down that game against Montreal, which those are always questions that I'll wonder. But I mean, we saw it the other night, and now we're talking about Chernyshov with 14 points in 19 games, 5 goals, 9 assists. That's a 60-point season, which is in line with like what Macklin Celebrini had in his rookie campaign. Now, I'm not comparing him to Macklin Celebrini because that's not fair to anyone. But Chernyshov, I mean, Alan, looks to me like the real deal. And if he gets hot here down the stretch, especially since his shot is what it is, the way he protects the puck, the way he, you know, plays defense at such a high level. I mean, if that's the spark, I mean, there's a big chance that something really impressive comes out of it.
Yeah, that line was ridiculously good, and I think there's a makeup for it going forward, and not only just because they're young guys, high talent, skill guys, but I think their style of plays, and we've talked about this before, they work well together. Macklin works well with anyone, but particularly with guys that can keep up with him pace-wise and vision and kind of seeing the game, which Will Smith is on the IQ side of things and the creative side of things and knows where Macklin wants him to be and vice versa. Chernyshov is a high skill guy, a power forward. He's going to attack. And you even see where he's on the line with Macklin. Macklin doesn't have to go down into the corners quite as much. Of course, he's going to do it. But if you have Igor going down there, Cherny going down there, he can disrupt the puck. And then Macklin can find the soft areas for more shots. And also, You talked about the defensive commitment. You have two guys who are defensively committed to doing it the right way. Will Smith is still coming along. There's games where he's more about it, and there's other games where he's not as about it. But you have Turner Shop who can maybe help cover that up. Macklin Celebrini is going to cover that up with whoever his wingers are. So you have pieces that work well together. And then we saw it in the winter. Like, Igor Chernyshov is going to find the spot, and he's not afraid to shoot the puck. Will Smith is going to find him, and you're going to have two guys who are creative, and Igor is just going to be the trigger man. He could have 40 goals consistently, 30, you know, high 30s, 40, maybe one night, one year he gets to 50. But that is what you have in that line, and it's young. It can grow together. Sure. You know, for me, I'm always one of the GM guys. I'm like, man, I mean, 4 or 5 years from now, how are you going to keep these guys together? That's a question you ask for another day. And you hope by 4 or 5 years from now, something special truly has happened. Mm-hmm. But they have the makings of a dominant first line, because I think they check a lot of boxes of what you want. If you have two out of your three guys that are going to be physical, that are going to cover up holes, and Will Smith comes around, all it is about with Will, it's just that commitment to doing it and on a consistent basis and taking pride in it defensively. And he's coming around. There's games that he's better than not. And, you know, and he gets bigger, stronger. Those things are going to maybe naturally happen. And also, I think you have Macklin Celebrini, who is going to be, in all likelihood, the captain of this team at some point. And he's going to have expectations for his wingers that you're going to have to get in there. You're going to have to fight there. And so I think that also will come with maturity. But we saw what that line can be like. Each player had multi-point games, and each showed why they are so highly touted and why the San Jose Sharks are still really happy that Igor Chernyshov got a sunburn.
Yeah, very, very timely sunburn. One thing about Will Smith, though, is that I've noticed that in the loss against the Blues and the win against the Blue Jackets, he was much more aggressive in going to the puck as opposed to waiting for it. And I think that once he gets that mentality going, I think that it's kind of that trigger for the rest of his game to be that much more aggressive. And even still on defense, it gets him a little bit more of that mentality. And I don't know if that's because, you know, he's figured it out himself, or, you know, the coach has gotten his face or whatever about it. But to me, you can see the engaged Will Smith very clearly on the ice. Does that ring true to you?
Well, I think that's all you want. I do think he has been more engaged here recently, especially after the time he got benched, or everyone was, you know, he didn't play a lot in that third period. He has been more engaged. But I think also it's being engaged, coming back to the puck, and not being afraid to take the shoulder or take the body a little bit more. And sometimes it's not always getting the puck. It's just pinning your guy or making sure your guy doesn't get the puck and then let someone else come do it. Now, and like on that Dmitry Orlov turnover, I don't really blame Will Smith as much as maybe you would think, because he was going to cheat out to go get offense, but he also probably didn't think Dmitry Orlov was going to make a blind backhand pass up the boards.
Yeah, Dmitry's got to be more careful, you know, there.
Yeah, so that I don't think that's – I think that's two guys that were probably on two different pages, obviously, and expecting two different things. And there's also – let's be honest. There's also guys in this league that are offensive-minded, and you live with – what they are capable of doing defensively, or lack thereof, or where they develop, because they are just so highly skilled. And Will Smith, still just his second season, he has opportunities to grow in that side. But also, let's be honest, if he's putting up the points that he's putting up here, a point per game player, he's going to be closing in on 30 goals, and he missed a chunk of time. You're going to live with what he gives you defensively, if there's games where he just doesn't have it defensively, because you never know. And there's going to be a time where he doesn't do things sometimes, and then all of a sudden he makes a play that no one else on the ice can make. And you say, well, we're going to live with what he does. And so I think also from the coaching staff, I think it's hard to want to change players at this point in the season. And yes, you want them to be more committed and do their thing, but you also need Will Smith on the ice, because he's going to score you goals.
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, you just got to live with what he is at this point. With 11 games left, you have to put the ponies out there that you think are going to give you the best chance to win. Even if, to me, and it's great, I could say this, I don't have to, you know, there's nothing to back this up. I don't have to go look at the guys in the room. But even if they make a mistake, you got to put them out there with you need a goal. And I think at this point in the season, you need to ride your talent a little bit.
Again, that is Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. We are just about out of time. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time tonight as the Sharks play host to the Blues from SAP Center. I'll see y'all tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.